From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us today. Bill Michaels' show. I am Bill Michaels. Jeff Orlowski, he is across the way. He is in for Radio Joe, who is off today. Tomorrow, he is doing the morning show at a local station in Milwaukee, on our flagship station, as a matter of fact. So Jeff is here. Don't forget, coming up tonight after the game, immediately following the game, it's Green and Gold postgame show. And Gary Ellerson back, yours truly, will be here. Jeff, you're back with us as well tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
Mayor Mitch is, doing the phone calls.
Yep.
So we got the whole staff on hand tonight.
Yeah, they entrusted me to run the motherboard again.
Mike Clemens is here tonight as well.
Mike Clemens has been bringing the fire with his Packers takes.
He has been fantastic. Mike, I think, no longer lives at home. I think he has burrowed himself underneath Lambeau Field. He's embedded, completely embedded now.
Yep.
He's the guy that actually, I think, installed the new LED lights up there.
Nice.
He dressed himself as a worker, and that's what Mike does now. He's now undercover in the Green Bay Packers organization. So, Mike, not traveling to Seattle. Mike will be here with us tonight as well in studio. So, we've got the whole cast of characters for you this evening for the Green and Gold postgame show, immediately following Seattle and Green Bay. Green Bay desperately needs this one. 855-830-8648. I posted it on Twitter a little while ago. Okay. Seattle giving away three. Would you take the Packers to win or cover, or would you just take Seattle? Chum Bucket says 38-10 Seahawks get the win. Peter says win out. I can't explain it. I just have a feeling. Kim says Packers win, not by a lot, but they do get the win, which is all you're worried about. Adam says not going to cover. Let's see here. Seahawks -3. Peter says, I'll take it. The building where they play, CenturyLink Field, should get you 6 points alone. That is according to Doug. Zach says, money line and spread. I'm going with it. I'll take the Green Bay Packers. This is another one from John, who says he feels that the Packers right now are ripe to bust out. I don't know necessarily what that specifically means. Ripe to bust out of what? Bust out of a funk? Bust out of something in general? What? What are they busting out of?
Probably the offense getting back on track and putting up a ton of points tonight.
I could go along with that.
I could too. This defense is not the Legion of Boom.
I was going to say, would you be shocked if... Now, this is not a great run defense. Would you be shocked if the Packers ran the ball for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns and threw for two touchdowns and won this game 28-24?
Absolutely not.
Wouldn't shock me tonight. It would be one of those good, hard-fought wins. Arnell says 31-26. Packers get the win. Chris says we're going to win this one, and no doubt. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. What are you feeling? What is your gut telling you about tonight's ball game? 855-830-8648. 48. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Don't forget, that's where I ended up going for my luxury vehicle that is wrapped in a pickup truck. They have the 90-day test drive. They are the home of the 90-day test drive. And basically, it's exactly the way it sounds. You go in, you pick out the vehicle you want, you drive it around the block. Okay, I'm pretty good with this, but I'm not positive, but this is the one I want. You take it. 90 days later, you decide. Do you really like it? Do you really love it? Do you really want it? Yep, want it. Keep it. Okay, good. Great. You can get up to $2,000 off of it. But if you don't, bring it back 90 days, no further obligation, good to go. That is the 90-day test drive. It is exclusive out there at Van Horn Automotive. Go to vanhornauto.com. That is vanhornauto.com. Locations in Plymouth, one out in Stoughton, also in Manitowoc as well. But that is vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. How are you feeling about tonight's ballgame? Are you getting good with it? Are you thinking that the Packers are going to win, Packers are going to lose? And if so, what could be the determining factor before it is all said and done. Let's do this. Let's get over to the Wendy's email inbox. And the key to a Packers win tonight from Steve in Ridgefield, I think the Packers have to get at least two turnovers to keep the field flipped on the Sea Chickens. Also, they need to control the run better than they have in the past. Packers win this one 31-26. Good day, guys. This one is from Brett. He says, our buddy Brett from Eau Claire, said, I think the Packers win 28-20. Packers need to find a way to keep the offense on the field, run 65-plus plays. I would like to see them do that that fast-paced offense that New England did against them. So out of curiosity, does my wife listen to the show? And if so, what are some of her responses? Oh, we were talking earlier because she dresses me like the dogs. For those that weren't paying attention, I posted the picture up on the Facebook fan page. You can go there and check it out for yourself. But basically, our Christmas attire, I'm dressed like my dog Elmo and Calvin. Mickey's a little bit different, same plaid, but a little bit different color. But she dresses me like the dogs. Yes, she listens every now and then. She is an underwriter for a large insurance company. So she's usually on the phone or whatever. So I'm on the background, put it that way. She doesn't listen like she used to. What are her responses? Sometimes she'll say, what the hell are you doing? And other times she'll crack up and say, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. So, you know, when she met me, my life was on the air. So nothing's changed. It is what it is. It's all out there for everybody to hear and see. 855-830-8648. Start lining up phone calls. Packers fans, here you go. What are your thoughts in tonight's game? Win, lose, desperate for a win? And if they should win, does that then give them the springboard into the Minnesota game? Or does that give you a little bit of breathing room? Or if they lose, do you then say, that's it, season over? That's probably my bigger interest right now. If they should, by chance, and I'm picking them to win, by the way, but if they should by chance lose this game, is that it? Boom, season over, done. Done club, card carrying member, let me in the door. I'm climbing in the window. We're all going to meet. I'm going to stand up. Hi, my name is Bill. I'm part of the Done Club. Hi, Bill. Nice to meet you. I want to know, win or lose tonight, what's going on in your mind? 855-830-8648. Your phone call. Phone lines are wide open. No reason not to call. Your response coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Everyone needs a place to run away, run
away. Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad, as always, you are on board. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today, no matter where it is you are at, asking your opinion on tonight's upcoming game. How are you feeling about this one? You woke up today, you thought to yourself, game day, all right, it's here. Packers in Seattle. You know, is it the Hail Mary game again? No. Is it revenge game? No, but it's one you desperately need. Let's go to Alex listening to us in Eau Claire. Alex, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, I kind of wanted to share my thoughts and ask you, going forward into tonight's game and for the rest of Aaron Rodgers' career, for that matter, I think it's honestly dependent on when does Aaron Rodgers take that step into becoming the audible quarterback of, like Peyton Manning used to be for the Colts and Denver Broncos.
Right.
Because a lot of Packers fans, you know, recently have been insulting and complaining to McCarthy about the play calling, so...
That's a great question. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would ever become Peyton Manning in essence of calling his own plays. That's a great question, though. Should he? I mean, remember, with 2 minutes to go in the game against the Bears, he was the one that was calling his own plays. And they did quite a good job of moving the ball down the field. Now, remember, though, that was a short game. A lot of quick passes, and he relied upon his guys, one of them being Randall Cobb, for yards after the catch. That was early on in the season. They don't have Randall Cobb. They don't have Geronimo Allison. Devontae Adams is being doubled. So is Jimmy Graham. So they're relying on the three rookie wide receivers and certain personnel packages. So I don't know if Mike McCarthy ever just gives it to Aaron and says, Aaron, just go with your gut. I'll give you groupings. You call what you call. It's never been like that. So I don't ever think in any – short period of time that Mike McCarthy's just going to give up the reins to Aaron Rodgers and say, here you go. But that's a great question. Should Aaron Rodgers be that guy? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. How you feeling about tonight's game? Not a phone. There's a lot of people that must be out there right now just kind of biting their nails going, I don't want to call. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to jinx it. I just got a feeling. Or maybe you're just getting sick somewhere because you just got this pit in your stomach you can't get rid of for whatever reason. I have no idea. But right, I feel good. I know some of you don't. I feel good. Look, desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm hoping that the Green Bay Packers are able to turn this thing around, get themselves a win, continue to move on. They're billing it as Russell Wilson against Aaron Rodgers. Nay, nay. It's that Packers defense against Russell Wilson trying to keep him contained, trying to stop whatever run game that is they have and being able to just keep him out of the end zone, give him the 20s, and that's the end of it. That's it. 855-830-8648. John says, why are the Packers so good in the no huddle and so average otherwise? Who is calling those plays? No huddle, 2 minutes to go. It's mainly Aaron Rodgers, but it's a rhythm. You get a personnel grouping you like, you get the matchup you like, and it's a rhythm. You just go. You're calling two plays ahead or three plays ahead, as opposed to setting up personnel packages against certain defenses, looking the field over, and then Mike McCarthy sending in the personnel packages that he wants, trying to get his guys on the field. Aaron Rodgers then, in essence, trying to catch them in personnel grouping changes, getting them coming off the field. And it is different. I will agree. But it's Mike McCarthy mainly calling the plays or the personnel groupings. And then from there, Aaron Rodgers coming to the line of scrimmage and looking it over and saying, okay, where's the matchup? And then maybe going in that direction. I mean, he could come to the line of scrimmage with a pass play. And you could have, say, Devontae split out to the right. You could have Marquez Valdez scaling off to the left. The play would be called for Devontae, but you can see Devontae is already double-teamed. So you look at him looking off the coverage on Marquez Valdez scaling and make him your primary on the backside, knowing you're going there, but you know what the coverage is. So even though it's called for Devontae, it's not necessarily going in Devontae's direction. Let's go to, what is that, McShield? Michael,
Michael,
I'm sorry.
It's
all gray. I couldn't see it. Let's go to Michael in Appleton. Michael, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm good. I'll go by McShield. Do you want to call me McShield? That's fine.
The McShield! I like that. You're kind of a superhero. What's up?
All right. I feel good about tonight. Last night I was kind of laying in bed, and I had that, got that feeling like, you know what? This is the week they get it going. Full speed ahead. The train has left the station. Run the table.
There you go. Every cliche that's ever been stated out of the Green Bay Packers in the last decade, you're firing off on this program. I like it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about Nick Collins and what could have been if he didn't retire. What could have been if Collins and Philly and Finley stayed healthy?
That's a great question. Jermichael Finley had just started to come on as a tight end when he went down with a neck injury. He had a ton of potential as long as he kept his head in the game. The key to keeping Jermichael Finley in the game was an early pass play. Get him involved early and engaged, and then he was good from there. If he was not involved early on in the offense, he became somewhat aloof, and his route running was nowhere near as crisp. Nick Collins, look at his numbers. He was on his way to a Hall of Fame career. That guy was fantastic. And had he not gotten hurt, he would have been in the Hall of Fame. What's that?
If those two stayed healthy, how many Super Bowls does Rodgers have right now?
If Jermichael Finley would have stayed healthy, there would have been no need for Bostic. Think about that.
Yep.
So you'd probably have at least one more. Without Nick Collins. Now, Nick Collins certainly would have helped you in 2014, okay, in that secondary. But think about that.
They're still trying to replace both of them.
Yeah, but that's a great – Michael, appreciate the phone call. That's a great question because some of the needs that you had at that period of time was trying to replace those guys. Let's go to Tony listening to us in Eau Claire. Tony, welcome to the program, the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Glad to have you. What's up?
I think they're going to buckle down and get it done. I think they're kind of coming together as a team. I know it's urgent, and I just think they're going to utilize their package and work the best of their ability and just do what they can to get this done.
I get the sense that last week, even though they didn't play great in New England, I think the last couple of games, including the Miami game, has started to right a few of the wrongs. But it's their own problems, their own issues, turning the ball over at the wrong time, penalties at the wrong time. Some of the things that have been disciplinary problems, those things I think they can correct, and I think they can put it together. They have to. I like I said, desperate times are for desperate measures right now. Appreciate the phone call. You can't go in and play completely tight, but if you correct a few of your problems, you're going to walk away with a victory. I just believe it. I think it's a better team than what they've shown. Unfortunately, as the old adage goes, you are what your record says you are. Let's go to Jeff listening to us in Oshkosh. Jeff, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well today, Jeff. Thanks for asking. What's happening?
Awesome. Hey, I'm calling because of a couple different things. Number one, you're asking how people are doing going into tonight's game. Yeah, I'm not as excited as I normally am. Of course, I got to work up until game time. But I have seen some tremendous improvements, particularly in the defense the last few weeks. I know they're not extremely strong teams that we played, but I've seen some great defensive improvement, and I've also seen some offensive rhythm come in. So I'm feeling a little bit stronger. I've seen your tweets on it, and I agree. Coming in a little bit stronger and improved on going into tonight's game, so I'm feeling pretty good on that.
Feeling good.
I wanted to say, somebody brought it up, and I brought it up this before. Why not have Aaron Rodgers do some play calling? You mentioned that apparently he did it in the Chicago game. We know that he is one of the most knowledgeable, if not the most knowledgeable quarterback in the game, smartest in playing the book and the plays and everything else. If we're seeing play calling problems and he's complaining about what he might be getting, why not give him some options and go for it? Give it a try, and let's see what he's seeing on the field and what he's thinking. I think if it works, great, we do it. If not, you pull off and come back off.
See, appreciate the phone call. See, you and I see it that way. The difference is, if I had the ability to say, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and do that, we'd probably do that. But I'm not the guy calling the plays, and I'm not the guy running the football team. Mike McCarthy's not giving that up. Is it a suggestion? I think Aaron Rodgers has a hand in play calling and has a hand in game plan, yes. But just calling the outright plays, I don't I don't have a hand in that. So I don't think Mike McCarthy's giving that up anytime soon. CJ tweets me, and he reminds me. He says, the last few weeks, you've had a good feeling about the Green Bay Packers. Last 3 weeks. He said, but they've had some costly turnovers, and that has lost them some close games. I see that trend continuing. I think the Seahawks get a win 35-31. But it reminds me, had they not turned the ball over in L.A., would at that point in time, when we're sitting here watching the game, both Gary Ellerson and I, Mike Clemens and I texting, sitting here talking, when L.A. scored, my first thought was they left too much time on the clock. Aaron Rodgers has too much time. He can take them down, kick a field goal, win this thing. Another game-winning field goal for Mason Crosby, thus validating the fact that the Packers kept him. That was my whole thought. Here we go. I was confident in that. Because I even said, here we go. He's going to win this game. I'm going to look like a genius. Because they're going to go in there and they're going to hand L.A. their very first loss. And then Ty Montgomery fumbles the football. Okay. Then they go into New England. Now, they played better than the score indicated at half. They allowed New England to come back. And they ended up turning the ball over. And then when you lose the turnover battle, 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose the game. So they flipped the field on him a couple of times. And they let him come back just like that. But they went toe-to-toe with him for 3 quarters. And all I kept thinking was, the momentum has shifted, but the momentum has shifted and they're still right there. They're right there with New England on the road at Gillette Stadium going to the fourth quarter, and then another turnover and everything turned out, bad. And then I thought, well, they could play a bad game and still beat Miami. And sure enough, it was disjointed. They had fake punts. They had, fumbles and turnovers and – then they had a run game, something we hadn't seen, and it came out as a win. They played an ugly ball game and got a win. So if you just put a good game together and eliminate your turnovers, my philosophy would then be, you'll win the game. That's the reason I have a confidence level about them going into Seattle. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Rick on the east side. Rick, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm with you. I'm in the Dunn Club. I'll take a picture with you. If they lose this game tonight, it's over. I'll just watch the Packers for the enjoyment to see what happens to McCarthy. The key is that even though they have not had other players that played in Seattle from the other years, that the debacles that they've had in the past, I get that. But there's something about Seattle that they just can't overcome that hump. And I did see this thing playing out 28-24-ish, somewhere in that area. Aaron Rodgers at the last minute just can't pull it out at the end, and that's where we'll end up. It'll be a close game, but that's what I'll see. But I will be definitely in the Dunn Club. I'm done with it.
All right. So if they lose tonight, Rick is in the Dunn Club. Take a picture. He's a card-carrying member. There you have it. TD says Seahawks are playing tough and Green Bay is inconsistent, not playing well, not to mention they have to travel on a short week. Can't take Green Bay in this spot. I'm sorry. I go back to what we were talking about with Chris Raybon before. Teams that have to travel, short turnaround on a Thursday night, 61.5% of the time they're not covering and not winning ball games. So it's already stacked against them. Then statistically you take on a team that, you know, is better in many categories. The odds are stacked against them. But for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm just feeling it. I'm taking the Packers tonight.
Are you surprised at the lack of confidence in Packer Nation?
No, not at all. Because my question would certainly be, and if I'm one of those people that are sitting there going right now, I can't take the Packers, I would say to those people that would say, I'm taking the Packers, much like myself, would be, what has made you think that the Packers are going to win this game? What have they done consistently well that makes them so much better than Seattle, not only to beat them, but to beat them on the road? And that's a legitimate question. Me, I'm not going by any statistical category. I'm not going by anything the Packers are doing great. All I'm doing right now is simply saying that if they clean up, and I hate to use that terminology because I go all the way back to Ray Rhodes. Well, we're going to watch the film. We're going to clean it up. If they clean up the turnovers, that alone, the special teams mistakes, that alone puts them on an equal playing field. And I believe then it comes down to quarterback play, and you have the better quarterback. Even though Aaron Rodgers is a little off, you have the better quarterback. And I believe they've got good talent. Then it comes down to the offenses. Who's got the better offense? And I believe the Packers do. And you're not playing against the Legion of Boom anymore. That's long gone. They're good, but they're nowhere near great the way the defense was. That's the reason I could say I could take the Green Bay Packers. Now, look, if you're going to tell me that they're going to turn the ball over twice and flip the field a couple of times and lose momentum because of stupid play calling a couple of times, well, chances are they're going to lose this ballgame. Okay, we can almost all hold hands, sing kumbaya, and say, yeah, we're all going to have a therapy session after tonight because we're going to be pulling our hair out. But if they just those few things, that will give them the ballgame. Yeah. I think they're a good football team. When we come back, Paul Charchian, leaguesafe.com, fanball.com, all that kind of good stuff.com, coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Hey, reminder, Cousin Subs, they want to put you in the best seats in the house, 50-yard line, Lambeau Field. The only way to do it is go to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. You can picture yourself in plush leather recliner sitting on the 50-yard line and kicking back and maybe, just maybe, doing a little tailgating ahead of time with some of that Cousin Subs good stuff. Got the Bill Michaels, the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese. Oh, so good, hot off the grill. That is our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Paul Charchian from fanball.com and leaguesafe.com. Charch, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. I think they got this whole Aaron Jones thing figured out.
I do.
It took a month.
I do.
I think we're finally there. 75% of the Packers' rushing attempts over the last 3 weeks have gone to him. So I think they got it figured out. Hey, what's the state? Your secondary worries me, right? So you've been churning bodies at safety. There's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix getting traded.
Right.
The release of Jermaine Whitehead. And now Kentrell Bryce is out. King is out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He didn't make the trip.
Right.
So that's a worry for me. What do you think?
What you have now, first of all, Jair Alexander has the rookie, their first round draft choice, has played unbelievably. He's the first kid with attitude back there. Go back to the game in New England, I think it was. He had 5 knockdowns, pass defended. I mean, he played really, really well. Josh Jones, their second round draft choice, the kid out of Iowa, has a nose for the football. He's more of a slot guy than he is an outside guy, but he's played well. Tremont Williams has slipped over to center with Bashaud Breeland. They still have Tony Brown, who's one of their backups, but I don't put much stock there. But you got Tremont, you've got Jair, you've got Josh Jones, you've got Josh Jackson. I think right now you're okay. What you cannot have is, say, two injuries back there tonight. Otherwise, charge, they're calling you and me.
Yeah, it'd be bad. And,
yeah.
And by the way, if people haven't been paying attention, Russell Wilson's having a great year.
He is.
It hasn't been flashy, and it's even from a fantasy standpoint because he's not running like he used to. But they don't need him to run like they used to because now they got three good backs.
Right.
This is this has turned into a highly functional offense that can attack you a lot of different ways. And so Wilson is only throwing, like 23, 28 passes a game. But because it's highly efficient because the running game's so effective and his play action's been great. And Tyler Lockett is a bonkers deep threat too. And so it's gonna be a great game. And this is now in my mind, Seahawks are the biggest rival outside of the division. Would you agree with that?
Outside of the division, yes, I would, because they've had some big games that have meant a lot. They had the NFC Championship game, they had the Fail Mary game. They had a couple of games at Lambeau. Yes, I would say that you're absolutely right. And let's be honest, Pete Carroll is everybody's favorite to hate. You just do.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's easy, given his track record especially. But I'll say this. I thought their defense had a chance to be the worst in the league. They churned basically their whole defense in the offseason. I remember they rolled into week one with literally two starters from the previous season, and now it's not even far off that even now. And they're good. They're good on defense. So this is one of the best Thursday night games we've had all year. Tons of storylines, tons of rivalry, and teams in flux, and the Packers trying to keep that secondary together with duct tape. It's going to be fascinating. I'm super excited.
Got some people on hold looking for if you got an either or question or one out of three. Don't get crazy on us with anything more than that for Paul Charchian. Let's do this. Let's go to Dave in Land O'Lakes. Dave, you got a question for Paul? What's going on?
Hey Bill, how you doing?
What's happening? I'm doing well.
Yeah, my question is, Jimmy Graham or O.J. Howard?
I've got him ranked 6 and 7. I'll do the O.J. Howard side, and Bill, you can do the Jimmy Graham side. How's that sound?
Let's do that. Yeah,
he's had at least 53 yards in all 7 full games up until last week when he only had 15. New York's allowed 50 or more yards to the tight end position in 6 of their past 7 games. So I like O.J. Howard quite a bit, and I got him one spot higher than Jimmy Graham. What do you think of Jimmy Graham against Seattle?
Jimmy Graham, this is one of those revenge games where he wants to prove that he still has something. Mm-hmm. I would look for him for more than just 3 or 4 targets, maybe 6. But if he drops or doesn't get to the first 2, they won't go back to him. Aaron Rodgers is just that way. So I would take Jimmy Graham just because I think it's in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers is going to need him. You don't have, much like we had mentioned, you don't have Randall Cobb. Devontae Adams is being doubled almost everywhere he goes. They're trying to take Jimmy Graham out of the play as well. You don't have Geronimo Allison. So you're relying on your rookies and Graham to get it done. I would take Jimmy Graham just because I think tonight he's going to have a bigger game.
Yeah, I just get worried about just the usage, the one catch in 2 of his last 3 games.
Right.
That just daggers fantasy owners when you get that kind of a performance. And, I think you're right in that it goes one way or another, right?
Look at it this way, though.
The big game.
Teams are double teaming him because they want to take him out of it, and they're saying, hey, go with the rookies and let them beat us. But what's happening is you're seeing Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You're seeing Equanimeous St. Brown. You're seeing those guys now make catches. So you can no longer just say, go beat us, because Marquez Valdes-Scantling can do it.
Oh, he can. And by the way, watch his matchup against Trey Flowers. He might be the slowest cornerback in the NFL. He's a converted safety. He's a 4.65 40 guy. 4.65 going up against a 4.35 Marquez Valdes-Scantling. If they can get that matchup, if they can get Flowers on Valdes-Scantling, oh, man, the deep passing could be awesome.
Let's get back to it. Let's go to Tom listening to us in Franklin. Tom, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hey, guys. I need one of these running backs, either Aaron Jones or Philip Lindsay.
Two of my favorite guys, but I have a strong preference for Aaron Jones in this one. This is and Seattle's been a good run defense, but here's the thing. Good backs have had a lot of success. Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, all over 100 yards and scored a touchdown. Is it insane to talk about Aaron Jones in that conversation?
Does he have their track record? Of course not. But he's playing at their level. I mean, we were talking about a guy averaging almost 7 yards a carry. So in my mind, if guys like Gurley and Elliott and Gordon can get 100 yards and a touchdown, I think Aaron Jones is going to be right at that same level, and he's my number nine running back this week.
Let's do this. Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan from Baxter and Tosa?
I've got him 10 and 12, so it's close, but I've got Matt Ryan at the 10 spot. He's just it's so much volume. He's thrown at least 38 times in every game since week two. And the only spot where it gets a little tricky this week is that Dallas, it doesn't let anything even close to that. Only three quarterbacks have topped even 30 attempts. So if you don't quite get the volume from Ryan, you don't necessarily have the same upside. But to this point, Ryan's been fantastic, and part of it has been volume driven.
Got one off of Twitter. Another one, CJ says, a question for Charge, please, Big Ben or Trubisky?
Can't trust Big Ben. Everything's working against him here. We've talked many times about how bad he is on the road, legendarily bad. Since 2015, Ben averaging 1.2 touchdowns in road games. That's Trevor Siemian right there. 1.2 touchdowns in road games, and on average in his road games, he ranks for that week as quarterback 16. He goes up against the Jaguars. Now, Jaguars defense, the last couple of games without cornerback A.J. Bouye, they've given up 6 passing touchdowns. A.J. Bouye comes back. In every game prior to the two he missed, they've given up 6 passing touchdowns. With Bouye back, I'm very worried about Ben Roethlisberger in this matchup.
Let's go to T.J. listening to us in Greenfield. T.J., what's going on, man? What you got?
Hey, guys, I need a PPR flex because Tre'Quan Smith screwed me last week.
Me too.
Theo Riddick, Kiki Cutie, or a flyer that you got. I don't know.
I got a flyer for you. How about Michael Crabtree going up against Cincinnati? Bengals defense has turned into the worst secondary in the league.
Terrible.
Giving up 5 scores to wide receivers in the last 3 games, and Crabtree actually leads the team in targets and receptions. He'll draw coverage from William Jackson, who has allowed touchdowns in back-to-back games, and I like Crabtree as my sneaky wide receiver sleeper this week.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Paul Charchian from fansafe.com or fanball.com and leaguesafe.com. I mix them up, you know. Just Google Charge for God's sake.
Together.
Paul Charchian on Twitter. You can find him there and ask him a question, too. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, kickoff tonight at 7:20. Seattle is 4-5 and has had a lot of games come down to the wire. Quarterback Russell Wilson.
I think when you have a lot of success in the fourth quarter and a lot of success in winning late games, you know, everybody believes. You're not going to do it every time, but you believe they're going to do it more times than not. You know, so I'm thinking we're looking forward to the next time and just staying the course.
Wilson is backed by 3 good running backs in Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and rookie Rashad Penny, taken in the first round out of San Diego State.
We got a team that never give up. We talk about always competing. I take Russ over anybody any day, I mean, especially in 2 minutes, because I trust him and everybody else does as well.
Packers linebacker Clay Matthews says when it comes to mobile quarterbacks, Russell Wilson is one of the best in the business.
You know, that's what Russell does really well is obviously he can move around in the pocket. And, you know, whereas most mobile quarterbacks are looking to run, he actually keeps his eyes downfield and, you know, does a great job of letting his receivers become uncovered and making big plays.
And the last time Tremont Williams played the Seahawks as a Packer was the loss in the NFC Championship when Jermaine Kearse beat him on a post pattern in overtime. Does that play stick with him?
Not at all. Not at all, man. That was, what, 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago? It is what it is at this point. All you do is learn and you grow from it. So I'm ready to go back in that environment again and, you know, make some new memories.
That's Packers safety Tremont Williams. I'm Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you back for another segment. Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, Fanball.com, joining us here as well. Right back to it. Keith in Muskego had a question for Paul Charchian. Go, man. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. Sure. Ryan or Wentz?
Carson Wentz has been really, really good. And he's got a fantastic matchup against New Orleans this week.
It's you got to keep up. When's it going to have to keep up with Drew Brees, right? This is going to have to be a game script that involves a lot of passing and a lot of points in this game. The Saints have seen at least 39 passes in five of the past six games, so all the volume's going to be there for Carson Wentz. And honestly, I think he's playing at a higher level this year than he was last year when he was the leader for the MVP before he blew out his ACL. Number two quarterback this week, Carson Wentz. Love him.
Let's go back to it, Willie, Chippewa Falls. Willie, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I have a league where we can use a quarterback in a flex position. So I have Goff, Deshaun Watson, and Mitch Trubisky, who should be the odd man out.
I think your odd man out here is Mitch Trubisky against a obviously very good Vikings defense. I've got Deshaun Watson at 7 and Goff at 8. Vikings are they've been very good, even with a bunch of injuries in their secondary, and now almost everybody's back. Other than their meltdown game to Jared Goff and the Rams way back in Week 4, the Vikings are giving up an average of 236 yards and 0.8 passing touchdowns per game. That's it. 236 and 0.8. So yeah, I think we'll hold off on Trubisky, as red hot as he's been.
I got another one here for you. This one is let's see here. What do I start? Wait a minute. Doug Martin or Smith?
Yeah, Doug Martin's my favorite sleeper of this week. There's a bunch of factors working in his advantage. First, it's Arizona. And they are the worst run defense in the NFL, arguably. Well, actually, the two worst run defenses in the NFL in this game, Oakland versus Arizona. How bad is the Arizona run defense? Cardinals rank 31st in rushing yards allowed. They give up the most rushing touchdowns, 1.5 per game. And they get more carries against them than any team in the league, 32 per game. And that's been the only thing that's held Doug Martin back from being fantasy relevant since Marshawn Lynch went down, is the Raiders are behind by a million points at half, and they don't run them in the second half. That won't be a problem now. Arizona doesn't score any points on offense. So the whole thing, it's all come together for Doug Martin to have a great game right here as my number 16 running back this week.
Let's see real quick. Aaron Jones or Dalvin Cook from Big Sam?
Aaron Jones. Again, number nine running back this week. And, you know, part of the problem with Dalvin Cook, a tough matchup with Chicago. Chicago's an elite run defense, maybe one of the best, maybe the best in the league. They've only given up one rushing touchdown all season and the fourth fewest rushing yards. But then the other part that's always the problem with Dalvin Cook is Latavius Murray gets the goal line carry. So Cook has to score at distance, and that's always a dicier proposition.
Charge, what else you got for us?
Every year I like to mention at this exact time of year, November 14th, that was yesterday, mm-hmm. Bill. One of the most important days of the year for me, because 13 years ago yesterday, my daughter Audrey was born. And 12 years ago yesterday, on the day she turned one, I went to a stationery store, bought a leather-bound blank journal, and every November 14th, I handwrite a birthday letter to Audrey in the book. I write about our years spent together, how much she's grown, she's changed, the times she made me laugh, our adventures together, her big life events. I write about the pride in her accomplishments, in many ways a deeper pride than my own accomplishments, and how she's unlocked within me a better person so that I can be a good person for her. And yesterday I wrote last year's chapter, this year's chapter in the book. And it's a highlight for my year for sure. She doesn't know about the book. And when Audrey goes off to college or when she gets married, I'm going to give it to her with 20-ish years of letters. It is my most treasured and irreplaceable possession, Bill. And the reason I bring it up is because parents that are listening, and especially fathers, think about how much this would have meant to you. And I give so much dubious advice on this bit every week. This is the one thing I can say with 100% confidence is good advice. Do this for your kids. No matter their age, start now.
Good stuff as always, Charge. Always a pleasure to get you on, my friend. And we've been together a long time. I hope we're together when that day comes and you finally give her the book.
I will tell you all about it.
Yeah.
I thought about it. I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
That handoff's going to be and what it'll be like when she sees the book for the first time.
Yeah, I can't wait. And who knows? Maybe you're with us or something like that in the Super Bowl or something, you know. And we go we get a good dinner out again. Hey, you know what? Speaking of birthdays, We were just kind of booking our Super Bowl stuff because last year, because Sherry's birthday is at the end of January, and that's when we're usually doing our Super Bowl stuff. She was like, what am I going to do this year? And I started flipping through pictures. Who was your buddy that was our waiter at Manny's?
That was Sean Biggs.
Sean, remember, he let her hold that lobster, that giant lobster.
Right.
Yeah.
She loved that.
I said, when are we ever going to have a birthday like that again where, you know, this year she got to drive at 180 miles an hour with Ari Leyendijk in an Indy car. I said, but you're never going to get a birthday gift like a giant 8-pound lobster sitting in your lap that you're going to get again. So
I hope you guys will come, when the Packers are here every year. I hope more often than not you will come out for the game and we can go back to Manny.
Yeah, we got to get back. Maybe we'll just make a summer trip or something on a weekend and come up. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely, buddy.
I love it.
Tell Roxy we said hi. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, pal. There you go. That's Paul Charchin. Great guy. Good stuff. Does it every time every year. Good stuff. Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. We're going to come back. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, he's going to join us. We're going to talk about this upcoming game tonight. How desperate are the Green Bay Packers? We have more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.